Welcome to Minority Corner, where we take an introspective look at the world through an intersectional lens. I'm James, a queer, political, comedian, self-proclaimed, sexy blurred, that's black nerd, and each week I'm joined in the corner by another fabulous minority where we tackle pop culture, the news, and history, all with a little self-care and self-love sprinkled throughout. This week, I'm joined by friend of the podcast, New York comedian Glory Mora. Election Day just happened, and we talk about all the exciting things happening and why y'all need to mark your calendars for every first Tuesday and go vote. But big wins for queer candidates, which we're going to get into. Also, T.I. seems to know way too much about his daughter's hymen, and Glory has notes. And we both watched American Son, starring the fabulous Kerry Washington. It was on Broadway, now it's on Netflix for the whole world to feast their eyes on. It tackles issues of race, police shootings of unarmed black men, and so many other issues. And the debate is on between Glory and I. Is it good? Is it effective? Should you watch? Watch it. Is Kerry Washington just being Olivia Pope? Find out. And that segues into our first corner where I take a look at, since Ferguson, the Michael Brown shooting 4 years ago, have things changed? Are the police killing less unarmed black men? And if not, why isn't the media talking about it? And Glory gives us some Dominican history representing her people, celebrating three Latina activists who changed history. Also, I've got a PSA about jock straps and why they should definitely replace the thong for both men and women in sexy situations. We continue our conversation about Buffy charm reboots and more. Let's jump into Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. Tell me, how far are you in Siempre Bruja?
You know how to watch that shit. I'm not watching that shit. Don't play with me.
Oh my god. How's your Charmed rewatch going?
It goes really well every week.
How deep are you?
I start every season over. Like, sometimes I play like shuffle. I just put a
what?
Yeah.
That is so random. You don't go in order. You're like, today I'm going to watch season 3, episode 5.
Honestly,
it's on shuffle. I didn't even know Netflix had a shuffle button.
I just pick whatever. It's like TBS. Like, you're your own TBS.
Oh my god. Because I did a Buffy rewatch, but I went like legit from the beginning. The first season's cringeworthy, but once you get past that, it starts picking up steam.
I'm gonna have to start watching Buffy again.
You should.
Kendra,
the vampire slayer. Bianca Lawson, who is...
She was in Buffy, right?
She was Kendra.
I knew it.
She died season 2. You kind of look like her.
She's just a light-skinned black girl. Like, I look like every light-skinned black girl.
You look like my cousin. You look like my friend Bianca.
Right. A lot of people are like, you look like my cousin. It's like, it's your light-skinned black girl.
I'm dead. But Bianca Lawson, you know who her stepsister is.
Beyonce, come on, don't play with me. Don't try to play with me.
Because you're the house of
Darian. Don't play with me. Don't play. Do you look that shit up after I said that?
I didn't. I don't think I needed to. I think I got everything I needed. Oh, God.
That was a good win for me.
But Kendra, it was a win.
I was like, finally, I got something on you, James.
But she plays Kendra, and it's really kind of like back in the 90s when like they still were trying to figure the 90s, like TV has grown a lot, because they were like, now we have a black vampire slayer, and they made her from some like black place, and not like she had like her accent, like the last minute they're like, Bianca Lawson, you're gonna have an accent. She's like, I'm not prepared. And they got her with a dialect coach, and her lunch is like, I'm Kendra, the vampire slayer.
Wow. No. Like, no, I was
so bad.
I hope she did not do that Irish shit.
I think it's Jamaican Irish or something.
Oh god.
Like, you didn't know where. I mean, because granted, she wasn't prepared to do an accent. Like, she didn't have time to like study. So it was like,
but I feel like the 90s was like maybe a little bit less racist than now TV. Because we had a lot of black shows, and now we don't.
Well, because I have a theory about what happened.
Yeah.
Because I agree. Back in the 90s, there was a lot of black, like, a lot
and
of
you
black,
know why people were watching? They were writing them.
But you know what? But here's the thing. That's problematic, though, because now you have black people who are actually writing their shows. Mm-hmm. Like, if there's a black show starring a black family, like Blackish, Insecure, Scandal, like, it's got like a, like, so at least now it's like black people are controlling their
black
voices.
Show around,
here's my theory.
What happened?
I. Bush got elected.
This motherfucker.
You got to go back to 2000 because I think it happened after around 2000. After and honestly, after like 9/11, what happened was is like everything was all about America. Like it was it was towing the line. So the conversations around like racism and even like everything went away. It was just, you know, like
we like fun.
Well, or anything just diverse. Well, like the conversations weren't about diversity anymore. It was just, if that makes sense. Like I feel like during the Bush regime, like, and even just like sexy teen shows and movies, like in the 90s, all the teen shows were movies about sex.
Yeah,
it all disappeared.
I used to watch, what's that show with Zoe 101?
Oh, okay.
That was my, well, she wasn't sexy, but she was like,
she was like 12.
No, she wasn't sexy. I'm just saying, like, she had that whole scandal about having a baby at 16.
Oh, Jamie Lynn Spears.
Yeah, now. Oh,
just had a job. You had to get me to the Britney Spears.
Sorry,
connection.
That's what I meant. I meant, like, there was some scandal, like,
yes,
around.
Because Jamie Lynn Spears.
Not the fucking boarding school. That wasn't it. My bad, James.
Like, I didn't even know where it took place. I just, but I feel like in the 90s if that would have happened. Well, I don't know. I feel like if today, if that would have happened, it wouldn't be as big of a deal if she had a baby.
No, now everybody's like, you know, live your life.
Teen mom.
But like back then she was like this idol and shit. So
she was trying to be glory. I just feel like your name should always be sung.
A song? The whole shit should be a song. I should have a Grammys. It is. I do have a few Grammys for my name.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, wait, what? Like, Britney's album was named Glory. Her last name was named it for you. Her last album, Britney's last album.
It was
album.
Called Glory?
Yeah.
Yeah, but there
did
was...
Did you listen to it?
I didn't. I fell off after she did... you know that song? It's like... Don't she's on the pole and shit. Piece of me.
Give me more.
She was but no, whatever.
Oh, pieces. Yeah, piece of me.
You know, that's how the song goes.
Yeah. This is becoming a trend where you and I try to sing like the songs. And there's that one that's the Jennifer Lopez song was the one we're trying to sing.
Last time. But that you only knew that song. I didn't know that shit.
Did you listen to it afterwards?
I did. You played it for me. Like this shit, I would have never heard this shit. But you know what?
Don't fight, make love tonight.
Right.
That one.
That song is terrible.
It's my favorite Jennifer Lopez and Pitbull song, and that's their fifth one.
Nah, they have five. That shit is trash, James.
My favorite one.
But I
agree to disagree.
Nah, I fall off off the circus. If you seek Amy,
that's a dirty song.
I know.
You know what that really means? So there's a Britney Spears song called If You Seek Amy.
Yeah.
Like she's seeking Amy, but she's not. It really means
fuck me.
Oh, put the kids away.
Oh, yeah. I hope they listen to mine in the corner.
No, in fact, there is a father-daughter duo that listens to this on their way to school. So
you just ruined her childhood.
No, we've been ruining it for 202 episodes.
Okay.
Kids gotta learn. That's
right. You're right.
Theme
they have to learn that. Britney Spears had a song that was nasty.
Well, yeah, I have several. She also had a threesome song called Three. One, two, three, Peter, Paul, and Mary, getting down with three.
Yeah, she was doing a lot. I miss her,
Question for you.
What?
Is it ever...
What?
It's like we're playing every truth or dare. Truth. I'm going to name it for you. So is it ever okay to, let's say something tragic happens to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
I know where you're going with this shit.
Because we talked about it offline and it's not going to get you talking right now.
Yes.
Let's say something happens to you. Like, let's say I had a peanut allergy attack. I was throwing up. I thought I was going to die. This happened again recently.
Peanut
allergy attack. I almost died in the city of New York twice.
Why do people have peanut allergies?
Because peanuts are poison. They're the devil. The devil literally came
James,
here.
James, don't say that.
It's
George
true.
Washington Carver made peanut butter.
Okay, well, he needs a better business. He's
no.
Uncle Tom is what I'm going to call him.
No, don't do that. Don't do George like that. That's my frat brother. Don't play with him like that.
Well, I'll tell you this. Yeah. Beelzebub came before the dawn of man and pointed these poisons. It's a very common peanut. It's a common
allergy. No, I know,
allergy.
But I think that shit, people made that shit up.
I almost died. My face was swelling. And it wasn't cute like in Hits where it's like, I was literally actually on a date. I was on my way to a date. I accidentally ate one of my roommate's peanut butter Chips Ahoy
but
cookies.
You knew it was peanut butter.
No.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was in the blue bag. Apparently, if you look past the little bit, it says like Reese's. And I was like, well, let me go on this date anyways. I took a Tums, took a Benadryl.
Oh, shit.
Went to the date. First hour's fine. And then suddenly I'm like, I gotta go.
Oh,
I get into a cab and the cab's like, it's gonna be 15 minutes. And I'm like, he's like, you want me to go to the ER? And here's what's really fucked up.
Yeah.
He asked me if I wanted to go to the ER. I said no because I didn't know how expensive it would be.
Yeah.
This is how fucked up our healthcare system is. I almost died. I jumped out of the cab near Central Park. I'm puking my guts out. I didn't eat that much.
You didn't go to the doctor?
No.
You gotta get that government. You gotta scam the government, James.
But then I threw up. I didn't have enough on my stomach to throw up. So I only threw up half of it. And I'm on a subway. At least this last time this happened, listeners, you can go back to the last time this happened.
Oh my God. Wait, it happens once a quarter?
About once or twice a year.
Okay, great. That's nice.
So last time it happened.
That's a nice like appreciation of life.
I keep thinking it's getting better, but my peanut, because the cure to a peanut allergy is just eating a small amount of peanuts.
Whoa.
But I think that's like when you're a baby. Mine is getting worse. So but at least someone this time asked me if I was okay. Last time when this happened, I'm on the subway, nobody asked me if I was okay.
Yeah, New York don't care about nobody. But that must be difficult to find food because you have to always look to see if it has peanut in it.
I mean, you just look or you ask. I'm not good about looking or asking.
Everybody lies. Like, I used to be a waitress. You think I knew this shit had peanut? I don't know.
You're like,
I was also a manager at a restaurant. I'm like, is this gluten-free, bitch? I don't know.
Wait, how did we get here? We were talking about something completely different.
Sorry, we were talking about, is it okay to use an excuse?
So I use that as an excuse to get out of things for, like, the next week.
And that's like, totally fair. Ooh. You almost lost your whole life.
Right. So like the next day, I definitely used it to get out of stuff. And then there's more things I wanted to get out of.
White
so
people
I
have been milking privilege for a long time, and they don't even deserve it.
And that's the end of the episode. That's all we need. And good night, ladies and gentlemen. You've heard everything you needed to hear.
When I used to work in corporate, they used to be like, the Nor'eastern is coming. Oh, my kids. And they make shit up. Like, you mean a fucking snowstorm? What the fuck?
Yeah, they started naming it these things.
They just
it's
to exclude
snowstorm.
People and make you feel stupid about it.
You don't know what a Nor'easter is?
Right. I grew up in the city. You mean like regular winter? What?
It's snow. They're like, gotta get home and stay home for a week because the Nor'easter's here. And then you get there and it's just like a pitter-patter of snow in your window.
But let you be late because, you know, you got to get box braids and racism, you know?
And that takes time.
Right.
Box braids take time.
Thank you.
And you should be able to like have paid time off for that.
Right. And I did do that. That's why I got fired.
Oh, well, they also like, they want, it's so complicated because like, you know, black women's hair is so political.
It is. Because
it's
like business.
However way that you wear it, it's like they've got something to say about it.
All the time. Like, you know damn well I did not cut my hair, Susan. My hair was this short. I put a wig on last week. Mind your fucking business.
Oh my God, your hair is so long.
It's like your fucking ass.
Fuck off, Susan.
Let me stop. But yeah, you can use your excuse for the rest of the year, James.
Okay, I'm not going to do it that long, but I think 1 week, I used it for a week. I'm good.
You're a good person. I would have used it once in each day of the week. Like Tuesday, you know, just repeat this.
I used it like 4 times throughout the week for different
things.
What
did you cancel?
I'm not going to.
Tell me.
Because someone might be listening, they'll be like, oh,
I want to know.
I thought he was in the ER. I'll tell you offline. Switching subjects.
Yes.
So we had an election last week.
On Tuesday.
You voted.
Didn't I come here on Tuesday? It was yesterday.
So you came on, what day? Today's Thursday.
Okay, I came yesterday.
Okay, so the election happened. And I just want to point out, like, I'm just reminding everybody that is it the first Tuesday of every November?
Yes.
It's always election day. I think people forget. They think that it only happens like every 4 years.
Well, it's not really advertised well.
But I'm just going to put this, mark your calendar now, because also your calendar always says election day on it.
Yeah. But some people think it's like the same. You know how like when Apple tells you to restart your computer? They think it's like a bug. But thank you for clarifying that.
Thanks for reminding. I'm putting this out there because a lot of actually great stuff did happen. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of the governor of Kentucky, now a Democrat.
Okay, Kentucky.
Why is that so important?
Tell
us. Mitch McConnell, who is a demon that's been placed on this earth.
You said, damn, a demon. You've been talking about them demons all day.
You know, we only got 10 good years left on this planet. The rapture is coming. You're not a scientist.
They said 2025.
That's not 10. That's
how many years, how many hours we got left, James? How many hours?
Counting down. Going back, so Mitch McConnell is the head of the Senate, and he's the reason why a lot of things like won't get passed. Like the House has been, because we took the House back in 2018, we're getting a lot of shit passed in the House, but then when it gets to the Senate, it's not necessarily getting passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so everyone did such a great job going out in 2018 for the midterms. It's part of the reason why we're able to even do these impeachment procedures is because we have control of the House. And so what I'm saying is like a lot of politics is actually local. The stuff that affects you and I on a daily basis, it's gonna be a lot of the local stuff that's going to be happening. There's a lot of measures that just got passed here in New York that essentially are just going to help so we, the people, have more power. So what I'm saying is just mark your calendars, everybody.
Every
go every
second.
Every first Tuesday of November, it's first, always election day. And your job has to give you time off to go and vote. And in places like New York, the polls were open until 9 o'clock. Yeah. When I went to go vote, this girl, oh my God, when I went to go vote, this woman who's working the polls, she was like, I'm just trying to vote. And something weird's happening with my ballot. And she's like, oh, like she was like whispering to her friend and looking at me. And she's giving me that look like she recognized me from something, right?
Oh, then maybe the fidelity shit.
My, the healthcare.
Yeah. Coverage. Oh, what an irony.
Here's what happened. So she's like, oh my God, I saw you, you were so wonderful. I saw you. And I'm thinking like, okay, I wonder what she maybe saw me in. Right. I haven't really been anything recently.
Right. You're like, well, maybe you saw something. Right.
Actor who's looking for work right now. Thank you. Agent, where have you been? Phone's not ringing. And she then is like, yeah, I saw you in that Shakespeare show. And I know in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm not the person she thinks I am.
What
like,
did she think you were?
I don't know, but I'll tell you this. I have not been in a Shakespeare show for like 2 years. No, she's Latina.
Okay, my bad.
And she's like, she was the people who needed help on the ballot for Spanish.
Oh, she was a translator? Yeah. Okay.
And she's like, oh my God, you were so great. And I'm just thinking like, I don't want to burst her bubble because she's so excited.
You need to, honestly, you need to milk that shit. Like, thank you. Can I skip the line?
Well, when I said it, was like, oh, thank you so much. And then I got out of there. I was like, gotta go vote. And so then I went to go vote. And then when I came back, I'm putting my ballot away. And she's like, she's getting her phone together and she's like so nervous. I'm like, oh my God, she's going to ask me. She's giving it to her friend.
Oh my God.
Her phone to her friend. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. Can I just get a picture? And I'm just like, I said, yeah, of course. Yeah. Let's get a picture. And then as we're taking the picture, she's like, yeah, my boyfriend works for the theater. That's how he got the tickets. So I'm just thinking like,
oh. Well, can your boyfriend get me a job?
She's going to show that picture to her boyfriend. Her boyfriend's going to be like, that's not him.
Wait, that so is
vote.
So
that's why
funny.
Go vote.
So go vote so people can know what Shakespeare play they know they're watching.
Absolutely. No. So
it's important. But important. I will say it is a little bit inconvenient. And, you know, I think we got to do better. Not we, but like, you know, I'm saying like there are some people that don't have access to vote. Even like when you have a full time job, like I think it's kind of you feel guilty for leaving. And they don't really they need to encourage it a little bit better.
Well, I do want to let you all know this. They have in New York, we had 9 days of early voting. Oh, I'm going to push back. I'm going to push back because you have 9 days of early voting. Most places do. You can also vote absentee. I do agree that like in most countries, in some countries, election days are either on a Sunday or it's a holiday. Yeah, it should be a holiday.
Who came up with fucking Tuesday?
Here's the thing is what we're trying to do is that we have Democrats. It benefits Republicans when we don't go out and vote. I saw a map and it said if millennials went out and voted, it's blue states all over. Mm-hmm. So what's the problem? So we're not going out and we're not voting is sort of the problem. And so when you vote for local politicians, they're the ones who are going to be able to help to get sort of these movements and these initiatives going on. There was over 80 out queer people and queer and trans candidates who won races. Like, and so like we're talking about governors, the local stuff, like everyone's so focused on Trump. It's like the stuff that's really going to affect you on the daily basis is at the local level. Mm-hmm. So just encouraging people because a lot of great stuff happened. The Virginia State Congress, completely Democrat now. It's huge. So there's a lot of great stuff that's happening, especially as we're going in 2020. I just want to keep that momentum going. And here's the thing.
I forgot 2020 was next year.
Let's come in. And here's the thing. God. Especially like when my dad was born, he was not born with the right to vote. And that's...
Oh, wow.
He was born in the 50s. So he was not born with the right to vote. And so it just... So many people were murdered and killed so, like, we could have the right to vote. And so it's on us because... Especially because they're not going to make it easy for us to vote. Mm-hmm. If you saw Selma, like, there was Oprah Winfrey's character who had to walk, like, miles and miles and miles to go vote. And they were... Mm-hmm. Like, so it's like we have to kind of take ownership on us to go and vote because they're not going to make it easy for us to go and vote. They don't want us to vote because they lose when we vote.
Right.
So I'm off my voting soapbox.
No, it's okay. Let's go back to
now
Britney.
Now in pop culture.
Now in Britney Spears from Selma to Britney.
Or to T.I. So I read headlines that T.I. knows way too much about his daughter's hymen. Can you explain?
So T.I., I don't know if you, right, Glory, finally.
Now over to pop culture, Glory.
All right, so T.I. made like a social post saying that he has been going with his daughter to the gynecologist and he can proudly say her hymen is intact.
I guess he was maybe just trying to be funny.
He's not a comedian. Okay.
Fair.
He really meant that shit.
Oh.
And at first, when I first saw it, I saw it when I woke up early. You know, sometimes you see something, it's like, oh, I'm just going to scroll past this shit.
I can't deal with it. It's too
but
early.
It's an issue because I think on one end, you know, once everything goes on the social internet, you know, people make their decisions and everything, you know, is
just
everything.
Why you need to be careful about what you post.
I think it's great that he is, right, but going, it's great that he's going with his daughter yes. and, you know, having that open, like the idea that it's an open relationship where you're like, you know, I mean, open, like in the fact that you're supportive of her yes. feminine journey.
Right, right. And that but a dad's for, going with it and yeah. it's not just like the mom.
But you like voluntarily like being that intrusive as to what's going in and out of her vagina, that's a problem and that's creepy.
And it's not like for her, like, I mean, poor her. Yeah. Like her dad just put this out on blast.
Right. Like no one's touching my daughter. Like we get it. Like,
okay.
As a man that has probably been, you know, promiscuous, you don't want that to happen to your daughter. But people, it's, like you doing that really reinforces the whole patriarchy, like for us to not feel comfortable with our own bodies and to really feel like, I don't see there's not really an issue with like you having sex with one person or multiple people sure. as long as you're being safe.
Yeah.
But you doing that is like, well, this is the most valuable thing that you have to offer. And I guess it started to really strike a chord with me because growing up, that's all I thought. Like if you have sex with people, like you're not going to be valued. And it wasn't until I kind of got into comedy and became like a woman, like at the age of 29, 30, I was like, you know, I'm not just a sexual object. And you reinforcing that makes me feel like I am a sexual object. So now my whole life revolves around sex and I do whole shit and I feel bad about it. And it's like, just leave your daughter alone. Like yeah. if she wanted to share that with
then
you.
Then she could do that.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's another thing too that like, you know, parents, I think in general, I don't have kids, but I think like, you know, it's hard because I'm going to jump in a conversation. When parents like posting things about their kids on social media.
But you're going to be a parent.
Right.
So, and I think, well, if you wanted to, I don't want to impose that on you.
I do. Absolutely. Yeah. I want kids. What if I need a bone marrow transplant
exactly.
or something?
Boom.
One day?
That's, you're thinking about the right things, you know?
I want.
You know, you need kids in case, like, you need a kidney. Like, one of us has to live.
Yeah.
You're here for a backup. You're a hard drive.
But yeah. just going back to this is, like, I think, you know, it's kind of tricky because it's, like, what do the kids want shared out there? And
yeah, that's another thing, too. I just thought, like, immediately when I saw that, I just thought about her hymen. I'm like, I don't want to think about her hymen.
You went a weird space.
Right.
Now you're thinking about a 16-year-old right. girl's hymen.
Well, she's 18.
Well, but still.
Right. But,
well, why you is know, he going? Wait, now she's 18. Why is he going to this? Now it's weird.
Always weird, but it was just like someone was like, he's so short, this is just knock his beard ass over.
Oh my
which
God.
Is, it's just like, you know, it's just very toxic. It really gives me like toxic masculinity. It's like, I need to monitor my baby's hymen. On top of that, you can break your hymen on a bike.
That's true. You also, too, like, now it makes me think, like, he's being less like, oh, I'm going there to support my daughter, and instead being like, I'm going to see what you're doing.
It's
you
kind
know,
of
like
predatory.
American Son is on Netflix. Not
oh, yeah.
was, starring Kerry Washington. And I was like, Glory, you have to watch this.
He gave me homework. He's like, bitch, come with facts.
I saw American Son. It was on Broadway.
Okay. And I'm happy that we're having, because I feel like we're going to have the conversation I think we're going to have.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
So I saw it on Broadway. And then when I found out that one, it was going to be on Netflix, and two, it'd been released. It's already out on Netflix.
Yeah.
I was excited for the rest of the world because they're now going to get, I sat front row. I was sitting with Ashley Nicole Black.
Okay. Name drop. No, well, I'm kidding.
She's my friend from college. Okay. She's been on the show a few times.
Yeah, okay,
she used to work on Full Frontal with Samantha Bee. She is on the Black Lady Sketch Comedy Show on HBO. She was like, we're going front row. So I was excited because everyone was going to get to see Kerry Washington up close, as up close as I did.
Yeah.
I was
oh, yeah.
Row.
Damn, you got to see them faces up close.
And I want
to
say, I'd already went into this having seen American Son.
Did you see the movie, the Netflix thing?
So I watched the Netflix one too. So I watched the Netflix one having already seen it, and I thought like, oh, I've already seen it, you know, I'm gonna go along for the ride, I just want to be able to like refresh my memory. I think the writing for me is so good, it so pulled me in because I'd already seen it. I had all the same feels that I had when I saw it when it was on Broadway, And it was almost turned up a bit because I think because film is so intimate and I was able to be there more.
I had an opposite reaction.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I thought that shit was trash.
Oh, wow.
But I could see, like, if I was watching this live, it would be phenomenal. Like, the way that you're pacing everything out, because, like, you're there in person. I don't know, like, and maybe it's something I'm still exploring because, you know, I do comedy live. Like, it's just not the same when you're there and when you're watching something that you're supposed to consume, I guess, in a different way, right? Like, I felt like the writing and the way that people entered and exited the room was very, like, even when they took, I saw that, I can see, because not to brag, but I was in a musical once myself.
Oh, once?
I was in Little Shop of Horrors, baby.
Wow. Yes. Okay, give her the Emmy.
Right,
or the Tony.
Thank you. The Tony, baby. But I can see, like, if I was there in real life, how, like, everything, that how it was paced out, like, the things that they were dropping, you know, it would have been great,
because essentially,
right?
The plot, like, the premise is, I don't want to give away too much of the premise. I guess apparently, I mean, the big conversation around it is around police shootings. And the guy who wrote it directly after response to Baltimore, what happened down in Baltimore. And so that was directly a response to that. And I guess taking aside, like, for myself, I think the conversation, for one, I was so glad that this conversation was happening on Broadway.
Yeah.
And two, I was so glad that this conversation was now being able to be in the homes of everybody, because Netflix is a worldwide sort of audience. And, you know, when I travel abroad, I mean, it's kind of changing now, but, you know, when I went to Europe about 4-5 years ago, it was me just busting the bubble that everyone just thinks that we're this, you know, united America. And it's like, America is, we're in a cold civil war, and it's been a divide, and
that's,
we're still
a nice word.
It's a cold civil war, and it's revving up right now. And so I guess I'm just always so excited that when these conversations are happening, I guess for me, like, having seen it.
But I want to say, I think when I say it was trash, I'm saying there's a difference between the conversation that's being had and, like, I was looking at the writing, the acting, like,
oh man, I was so disagree. I thought the writing was so, I cried so much throughout it.
I felt like they were trying to cramp, and I don't know, maybe this is me, they were trying to cramp up every single moment in history that happened into one. Like, it was like, you know, she brought up Jim Crow, like, all of a sudden there's, like, a water fountain from the Jim Crow era there. Which, you know, I get what they were trying to do. They talk about the big six, everybody. They just try to climb everything up. And then, honestly, maybe I'll be a little biased because she brought a little bit of the scandal, like the scandal formula into this. Like, I think Kerry Washington does really well with white man tension. Like, then they brought the...
Did you see her in Confirmation? I so disagree on so many levels. I think
it was good, Jen. Well, I don't think it was, like, a terrible, like, they should take this shit down. Like, everybody should be watching this in school.
I think everyone should just watch it.
Yeah.
As an actor, you know, everybody could put that in there. Yeah. I think, like, some people are like, oh, that person. I think people don't realize how hard it is to just, I don't think she was playing Olivia Pope on this. I think she was bringing a character.
I'm looking at the photo, and let me tell you something. You could take this screenshot and put it next to the scandal screenshot. You tell me those are two different actresses.
It kills me because everyone's such a critic, and you're not, like.
You told me, you gave me homework, and you said I have my own opinion.
What I'm saying is that, like, I guess, like, as an actor, it's like everyone wants to sort of critique, like, someone's sort of, like, acting, and it's like,
I'm not critiquing her acting. I'm saying she had found a little formula that works for her tension with this white. Like, I can see how, like, bringing this white man into the store. I know, but it was.
I think it's important to, like, have a story about an intersectional. Like, the story was about it's an intersectional relationship.
It got weird for me. It got weird when it was like, you know, we're talking about your son, and then we're talking about, like, our marriage. Like, it got a little bit lusty for me, and then the situation that shouldn't have gotten lusty.
Totally.
I can see, you know, being in the audience and be like, yo, this is a good ass play. Like, the way the people entered the room. Like, I said that a few times, but it's like,
yeah, I like the stage directions.
Thank you.
I just want to throw in, I appreciate what you just said, and I just want to throw in my own sort of side of it. I thought this was I recommend it to everybody. I thought it was so phenomenal for myself, having seen it on Broadway, because I think a lot of times theater, for me, this was one of my favorite things that ever I saw live and then was put into film. So I felt like they really kept into tact. It's just a four-person cast. They just kept it as the four-person cast. It allowed me to get so much more intimate. The dialogue to me was so good. It's so fast-paced. It literally...
Hold on. Oh, sorry.
What I want to say is that, like, I thought it was one of the... They translated it so well that, for me, the dialogue, it's so gripping. I remember when I saw it live, it was so gripping. And I thought they did such a great job of translating it from theater to film. And I guess for myself, I come from a theatrical background, so I understand what the play itself is doing is that, like, there's a lot of conversations that it's having, and I appreciated that. It wasn't just one note. It is also about this broken marriage that's happening. There's so many layers and levels that are happening, and I feel like a great stage production or a great story shows both sides to a debate, and I felt like this story was able to do... I think it's definitely leaning in one direction, but I think it was able to sort of show the other side of, like, what's happening in these police shootings. And I think it subverts a lot of your expectations of who might be coming into, like, the room next. So
I know what the film was trying to do. It didn't really do it for me all the way, but I appreciate it for what it did, and I think a lot of people should watch it.
Beautiful. I agree. I think everybody should absolutely go and watch it. We're going to take a quick break, and the segues into my corner, because it made me think, watching it, have police shootings gotten any better since we first started talking about them back in 2014? Remember, the inspiration for this podcast was Michael Brown in the very beginning. So it made me think, I'm like, all these conversations that are happening, all this media that's out there, have they gotten better? I got some facts for you.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation, every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
Glory.
Yes, James.
Black lives still matter.
Absolutely.
I feel like I haven't been hearing a lot. I was reading this other article, and I feel like it's not... And we're going to get into this. I feel like you're not hearing a lot about Black Lives Matter as much anymore. You see little posters and stuff, but it's not in the same way that it once was in the media climate. And it made me think... And that's why I was like, maybe things have gotten better.
No.
Well, spoiler alert. So the LA Times did this article that pretty much will sum up what we're going to talk about. Mm-hmm. Getting killed by police is the leading cause of death for young Black men in America. Leading cause of death.
That's
terrible.
Yeah.
Because we're not talking about cancer getting shot and killed by the police.
Right.
So about 1 in 1,000 Black men and boys in America can expect to die at the hands of police. That's every year. This was a new analysis that was done. And that means that they're 2.5 times more likely than white men and boys to die during an encounter with the cops. And for Black women, it's 1.4 times more likely. So there's that. It's a new study that was conducted. We'll link it. There's a bunch of people who were involved in it. I'm not going to spend time listing them, but it was a very good study that was done.
Damn, James.
They know who they are, and they know what they did, and snaps to y'all for doing this. And so this also showed that Latino men and boys, Black women and girls, and Native American men and women and children are killed by the police at higher rates than their white peers.
But I don't have the numbers, but I feel like that's always been the case.
It absolutely has. But here's the thing is that now what you're going to see is we're not, for one, talking about it, and two, now there's this place where we're having data behind it, but it's all still really fucked up, and it's all really fucked up still. So again, but still much higher for black males. Yeah. So, and it's from boys to men and not like the, you know, cute singing group.
No, I know. Yeah.
It's not like Wanye, but he in danger too. God, remember Wanye? He was, was he your favorite?
What did he, I don't even know. Which
Wanye was in Boys to Men.
Was he the one that was dating Brandy?
Yes. Oh. The lead singer, cute one that everyone was like, Wanye.
I just like their
impregnate
music.
Impregnate me.
Oh,
that's
wow.
What the girls were running around the
playground
saying.
Well, I was a little younger, so I didn't want to get pregnant.
We got it, you're younger than me. I was a baby. You were like, boys are gross. But you have better, here's a crazy fucking fact. You're ready to drop your bras and your thongs. And I'm saying that for men.
I'm not wearing a thong.
Not for you. I'm saying for the men who are wearing thongs. Because thongs are not... Actually, I want to do a PSA. Okay. Not for everybody. I'm not a big fan of men wearing thongs.
Okay.
I'm into men wearing jock straps.
Okay. What's a jock strap?
Oh, girl, we'll put some pictures up. A jock strap's like what the sports people wear. So us gays wear jock straps all the time. Yeah. Dance parties and stuff. Because your butt is just right there. There's no like strap.
That's real sexy.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it holds your junk. So it's just like a mystery of like, what's in the junk?
I like that.
Butt is revealed as opposed to this like dental floss.
Yeah. Well, I don't like thongs. There. Either, so I don't know how guys like thongs.
Well, I think ladies should adopt a jock strap too because it'll just cover your little punani.
Now we're going to get one for T.I.'s daughter. That's what he wants, right?
So this beats out acts. You have better odds of being killed by the police than winning the lottery of a scratch-off game.
That is so scary.
Scary and
but like
sad.
My thing, and this is the thing, again, we kind of talked about it a little bit with Jay-Z. Like, he's like, we're past kneeling. Like, these stats are not saying that.
Hasn't changed.
So it's like...
So police violence as a public health problem. So we have to look at police violence now as a public health problem whose long-term harms, they radiate for generations. So it's very similar to the prison system. Like, when you lock up one person of the prison... there's generational harm that comes from that, through the trauma of it. And same thing, like when, you know, there are these killings, you also have these people who are living in these neighborhoods who are living in trauma and generational trauma when this shit, when it happens. Yeah. And actually talk about an American Son that like, you know, these guys, some of these kids who are growing up, you know, they're putting on these exteriors, but it's because they're scared and they're needing to act hard.
Oh, she
in
did.
A certain,
before I talk about that.
Yeah, they're needing to act hard in a certain way because they're scared on the inside. Yeah. You know, and so then this there's a study that was published in the Lancet last year. Don't know what that is, but sounds fancy.
Right.
Found that police killings of unarmed black men were associated with an increase in mental health problems, such as depression and emotional issues for black people living in the state where things took place. And we were talking about this earlier. It's not like there's a lot of, again, you're having people who are living in these traumatic places and they're already living under some people, traumatic situations where they're just literally trying to survive, and they don't have, because of socioeconomic racism, and they don't have access to, you know, public health, mental health sort of things.
Because I have that argument, and, you know, it's kind of like a little differing from like the shootings, but just about the idea of privilege. Like, you know, I went to college, I did this, I came from the hood, and it's like, I forgot what the word is, but there's a word for it. It's like, it's not like it happens to everybody. Like, I was able to do that, but those are my coping mechanisms, you know? Like, literally being successful is a coping mechanism because I don't know. It's so weird, right?
Wow. I have to work twice as hard to get half as much.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, I feel like if I do all these things right, like, I'm going to get freedom and be, like, out of this. And then you learn that you don't get it. Like, white people just going to be annoying all the time.
Well, and, yeah, that's... Fair,
you
very
don't.
Fair.
Like
I never really thought about that, but it is absolutely true. Actually, a friend of mine was talking about that. Oh my God, a friend of mine was talking about the same thing. He's black and he's queer, and he had to change therapist because he had like a white
therapist,
then a Latina therapist, and he had a black therapist, and they were talking about how much like he was smoking weed, and they were like, oh, that's how you're self-medicating.
That's how you're self-medicating
and coping, because again, the generational trauma and just the trauma of growing up non-white in this country,
right,
and trying to maneuver, and don't add another intersectionality into that. They'll be like, you know, black lesbian and in a wheelchair,
right?
Gladys, but Gladys is my reference point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so here's the fucked up thing about this. So you have these guys, people who are living in constant fear, stress, trauma. And the really fucked up thing about this is that we actually don't have accurate, you know, you were talking about how this stuff has been happening for so long. And even to this day, we still don't have accurate data on these police killings of Black individuals. And just there's like, it's voluntary for these police departments to have to report these things.
What?
Which is really fucked up. So the National Vital Statistics System, they capture some of these deaths. But again, some of them go unreported. So the Washington Post, what they started doing since Michael Brown was killed in 2014 in Ferguson, the Washington Post, so they found that their FBI has a tracking system of underdocumented fatal police shootings by about half. So there's just, the data is not there. So the Washington Post started trying to track. But again, they're just a fucking, and they're a great news organization, it's the journalists are now having to try to like keep track of when these different shootings happen.
Yeah.
So they have the Washington Post. So in wake of this, though, in wake of the Ferguson shooting, the FBI in 2015 is committed to improving its tracking. And they, launched just last month, to track all the police use of force incidents, including fatal shootings. But again, this is voluntary. They found that, out of the dead, 45% were white men, 23% were Black men, and 16% were Hispanic. And women have accounted for about 5% of those killed. And people in mental distress were about 25% of those shootings. And here's the thing. Black people make up 13% of the population. So we're overly getting shot. We're not getting shot to the amount that we represent the population.
Like the ratio is off, baby.
Right. In the same way, like we make up like, 45% of the prison population, mm-hmm. right? So at least Latinos are being shot at the same rate that they're represented.
Right.
They shouldn't be.
Oh my God. You're like, well, good for the Latinos. Like,
you're keeping it. So there's also an organization called Fatal Encounters, which is a journalist-led system that collects... they're doing the same thing the Washington Post is doing. They're collecting the data because the data is not really there. Here's what's fucked up about this whole entire thing.
What's fucked
up? If you work at Walmart, you have to log in how many Herbal Essence bottles fall off the shelf. Yeah. Or if you're at McDonald's, you have to count like how many burgers at the end of the night.
Yeah.
Didn't
how many
go
patties
through.
You got?
So how are these businesses doing it? But it should be it's insane that there's not data for it. And without data, there's no way to hold anything accountable. There's no way to see how things are, if they're getting better, if they're getting worse. Mm-hmm. And this is why Black lives still must matter. It's like, where are my tax dollars going to?
Well, James is going to war.
Yes.
It's going to a non-working MTA system.
Ooh, yeah. Cuomo. Looking at you.
It's going to a lot of interesting shit.
So through looking at these different systems, this latest study combined Fatal Encounters and the National Vital Statistics Systems, and they then looked at it through like race, age, and gender. So we said this earlier, but for Latino men and boys, the risk was up to 1.4 times higher than it was for whites. For Native Americans, the risk was 1.2 to 1.7 times higher. Overall, women's risk of being... I'm going to circle back on some theories about why the conversation has shifted. Mm-hmm. So again, Black women are about 1.4 times as likely to be killed by police as white women. So we mentioned that earlier. Native American women were 1.1 to 2.1 times as likely to be killed over their white peers. And Latina women were 12% to 23% less likely than white women. So... That's
interesting.
It's really interesting. Latino women are not being, white women are being killed more than Latino women.
There you go, though.
And then among Asian and Pacific Islanders, both men and women were actually less than half as likely than their white peers to be killed. So progress. Across all groups, younger adults were most at risk. The chances of being killed by police peaked between the ages of 20 and 35. And the police use of force accounted for 1.6% of all deaths of Black men between the ages of 20 and 24. And was also responsible for 1.2% of deaths of Latino and Native Americans. So the numbers might be conservative. The data isn't all there. Also, light and darkness of skin color also plays a part into all of this whole entire conversation. Mm-hmm. conversation. Mm-hmm. For Latinos, it depends on geography. Your state, border towns, you're probably going to see a higher rise of Latino folks being killed by the police. So last year, the police shot and killed 998 people. That was 11 more than the 987 people killed in 2017. In 2016, police killed 963 people, and in 2015, 995. So the numbers are kind of staying around the same ballpark of about 1,000. So
that's a lot.
There's some solutions here. It's not all gloom and doom. You know, part of it is like creating jobs for people in these communities and actually like having like actual jobs. So like they're
you mean able, like more
not police, like the people who are in these communities. We just need to get more income going into some of these communities. And so through that, like creating more jobs is absolutely going to help to sort of ease some of like the pressure that's happening. I mean, again, we've seen people being killed across the gamut for different... I'm not saying this is, like, the one thing that's going to fix it, but you do have a lot of people who are in these communities who are still looking for... It's an economic thing, right? So a lot of these communities are being heavily policed because they're of lower income and because of the things that are happening in these communities. So by giving more jobs and opportunities to some of these folks, it's going to help uplift the entire community. As you're saying, like, we need more money going into these Black communities and having more jobs because we're not getting hired as much. We get paid less. I think it's gonna help. And this is also according to the LA Times, the author in the LA Times listed this as one of the things. Mental health professionals asked to attend certain calls and having social workers going out. We asked the police to do too much. I've witnessed this and been a victim of this. So the year after on the anniversary when my roommate had died, there was a mental health call from my other roommate. If she wasn't a white woman, she would have been absolutely killed. This happened on our 100th episode of Minority Corner, so you can go and listen to that. But we ask our police to do too much. We should be sending out, they should be getting better training. Police officers get 6 weeks of training. 6 weeks. That's like nothing, mm-hmm. you know? And they should be getting, there should be, like LA has been doing a great example of, they have more social workers who are on their force now, who are going out. Again, 25% of those killings were someone who had a mental health issue. Right. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these things like could have been prevented if there was a social worker or someone who has mental health training out there, because the police, this person's maybe communicating in a different way and the police just shoot this person. Right.
I mean, I think it sounds nice, but I think a lot of it is inherited racist. Like, it's just racist. You know, I think these solutions, they sound great, but I think, you know,
let me keep reading all of them because that is on there as well. So it is, you know, better psych evals and screenings, mm-hmm. because like you were saying, like, again, like the whole entire idea of this is that like, there's not a one shoe fits all. I think all of these things that they're implemented are going to also help, because getting, better training, de-escalation training, pay cops more, actually putting, because it is a very dangerous job. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's across the board. So if we have more training, pay them more, filter out the ones who are fucking just racist, right? They don't do a good job of screening these people who are going in here. Better training, better diversity training, better cultural engagement training, hiring people within the community to be within the police force to help protect their neighborhoods, because that's the idea. And the over-policing of some of these neighborhoods, it just adds fucking tension. So if you take that away, it will help sort of de-escalate that. The war on fucking drugs needs to end. It's completely attacked Black and brown folks in particular. If there are states that are legalizing marijuana, that money needs to go back into those communities who've been hurt and hit by it on the most. And then addiction, it's a public health issue. It's not a crime. We've been treating like drugs and addiction as a crime. I mean, a lot of drugs in like the 70s and 80s were pumped into specific Black and brown communities by the government. Correct. And so just changing the way. And so right now, what is interesting is that scientists are the ones who are going out there and getting data on this. It's wild, but scientists are leading the cause, because essentially it's the CDC who is coming out and saying that, again, police killings is the number one cause of death for Black men. So this is a public health crisis that's happening. To answer your question about, you were talking about earlier when you just Googled Black Lives Matter and there wasn't a lot of information that's happening. Mm-hmm. So why in the past like few years has the media attention not been on Black Lives Matter? Trump. And it's because it's not the way that you think. He dominates the news cycle, so we're not talking about anything else. Also, it's not a focus of him. Obama's administration was making efforts and making strides and having conversations. There was times when he would come out when there was a shooting. I remember when it was Tamir Rice or Trayvon Martin.
I think it was both, honestly.
And he came out and he spoke. I couldn't imagine this current guy in the White House doing that same thing. So again, like, it sucks. Like, the media, yes, the stuff of Trump is important, but there's so many other stories that are also happening that need the attention as well on a national level. So Black Lives Matter, they still matter, and things have not gotten better.
Macho Man to the top rope. The flying elbow, the cover. We've got a new champion.
We're here with Macho Man Randy Savage after his big win to become the new world champion. What are you going to do now, Match?
I'm going to go listen to the newest episode of the Tights and Fights podcast, oh yeah.
Tell us more about this podcast.
It's the podcast of power, too sweet to be sour, funky like a monkey, woke discussions, man, and jokes about wrestlers' fashion choices, myself excluded, yeah.
I can't wait to listen.
Neither can I. You can find it Thursdays on Maximum Fun. Oh yeah, dig it.
Little Shop of Glory's Corner.
Thank you. I would love
What part were you?
I was
were
a
you
dentist.
The plant? You were the dentist.
I was.
Isn't that the lead? No.
Yes, he's one of the leads.
Oh yeah. Wow. I also did like gender blind casting.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was high school, whatever, okay. You know, trailblazing since then. But I recently worked on a project called Latino Card Revoked. Mm. And it's from the creators of Black Card Revoked. And it's great because, you know, we kind of get to make not fun of our trauma, but we get to talk about like moments that kind of happen in our culture, you know, just like kind of like the toxic masculinity within our own community. Yes. And just joking about it, all that stuff, but also some historical moments. And it was important for me to work on this because, you know, I am Dominican, but sometimes, you know, I have my own issues with my own ethnicity or culture.
Can I ask, how do you identify?
A Black Latina.
Okay.
So like Afro-Latina, all that stuff.
That's what I thought.
And, yeah, so I wanted to work on this project. I feel like a lot of the issues that I have with the Latina media is that they always push these white Latinas forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was important for me to work on this project and kind of like when it was curated that I did put some Afro-Latina stuff in there. We have some Celia Cruz information in there. Just a lot of stuff. Jerrell Jerome, I ended up putting him in there, all that stuff.
Emmy winner.
Right. That's what I put him in there, you know, and I wanted to do a call to Black Card Revoked because which is kind of like symbolic. And I think a lot of the issues that I have with my own culture here, like a lot of Dominicans or Puerto Ricans or people from the Caribbean come here and they do have anti-Black sentiments well. And they try to not give credit. Like, you wouldn't have this level of, not that we have a lot of freedom or autonomy without the civil rights movement, without Black people that were trailblazing. So I did want to do a call back to Black Card Revoked, and I put that information in there.
And I feel like, I mean, because like, there's been a lot of more conversations about, like, Afro-Latina sort of stuff that's been coming up. Jane the Virgin has been saying some...
Oh, you're talking about Gina Rodriguez?
She has been
I know we had a little mini dispute. I take issue with people that, you know, have privilege sometimes and they do distance themselves from the Black
experience.
Community, Black experience. Yeah. And then when it's time to like cry wolf, like she's like, my dad is Afro-Latino and she's saying the N-word. But like, you're also one of the people that always kind of like don't put women of color in your productions. And I'm not talking about like African-American women, like even in your own Latino community. And I think that's where like a weird place where Afro-Latinos find themselves, where it's like,
because you're super intersectional. You're intersectional within your intersectionality.
Yeah. And it's like, I am Dominican. I know that I have my own privileges as like this, like, you know, we were just talking about Latinos, kind of like, wow, that was kind of like a weird stat that the white women are going for the Latina woman, right? That's weird. But it's like,
still processing that.
Right. And it's like, you're still, you have your own privileges. When people find out that you're kind of exotic, they were like, okay, well, you're not Black, you're something else. And it's like, no, like I still, like in the corporate place, I still get treated you know, differently. I get my braids done and people are like, why is your hair? It's a lot, but
it's those microaggressions that fucking add up to yeah. the trauma.
Yeah. Over and over. And it's then like,
what sucks is your coping mechanism is to work harder.
Yeah.
And that's exhausting.
It is a lot. And it's just like, you still have to deal with the same bullshit anyway. So it's like, you know what? I'm going to sit down and light an L.
Okay.
Right. You yeah. know? But I got one of the most, I'm gonna get to my corner.
Right. Okay. An L?
Light an L.
What is that?
When you hit a smoke a blunt?
Oh, I thought you didn't do drugs. You said that in your stand-up.
Well, once in a while, like every quarter, I'm like, you know what? It's going too much. Like, I need
to self-medicate.
Right. I smoked the other day. I was like, yeah. This is a lot.
No
going
shame
on.
Or shade. Listen, I dabble. Yeah. Mine are more so uppers, not downers, but to whatever you need
nah,
to do.
Mine is like, yo, I was going through a lot. Let's just smoke this out and forget and just laugh about shit.
Yay.
But one of the exciting things about working on this project is kind of revisiting some of the fun history. You know, every time I do the show, I'm like, I don't fucking know anything. I feel like I'm under prepared. But, you know, it's just one of those things where, like, I have to be triggered, right? So it's like I'm working on this project. It's like, oh, I know about Frida Kahlo.
Yes, you do.
And her bus accident, all this shit, whatever.
Why did she have an accident?
She was infertile. That's a lot of her paintings were inspired by her.
I'll set her up for the audience.
Well, I was going to talk about the Hermanas Mirabales.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Well, I also want to know her.
But
Frida, the pleasure.
Frida Kahlo, she, like, her whole life was just misery, right? Like, she was infertile. She couldn't have babies.
She went with the eyebrow.
Yeah. She had a really crazy bus accident where, like, one of the poles kind of, like, shot through her.
Holy shit.
So a lot of her painting was inspired by just kind of, like, depression.
Did you see the movie with...
I saw it when I was really young with Salma Hayek, but, like...
I want to put that on my Netflix queue.
I got to watch it. But Salma Hayek, like, she, you know...
She's older,
Latina,
rich, but she's also rich and older.
Yeah, but she like she's like also very. She contributes to this over sexualizing of Latina women, and it's just like I don't know. I don't know her yet. I'm probably gonna meet her at like an Emmy. I don't know where I'm gonna meet her, but
be nice.
I don't know much about her, but yeah, Frida Kahlo. A lot of her life was just like a tragedy. She was married to Diego Rivera, and she was like part of. I was trying to find this fact, but she sent like a telegram to somebody in Germany. I remember she started some war shit, but I haven't. Right. Yeah.
She also started a war in Germany.
She started some drama.
Did she start World War II? It wasn't the Archduke Ferdinand.
No. I just don't know what it was. It might have been
like a letter.
Like, no, it was like a telegram that she spilled some tea.
Whoa.
And I don't know if it was about like, I know that during that time it was like.
This is pre-Twitter. People used to send letters.
Yeah,
that would start
telegrams,
shit.
Baby.
Yeah, oh, telegrams.
Telegrams. And she probably didn't mean to send it, but once she hit send.
If she had Twitter today, it would have went off.
It would have been. It would have been really beautiful. She probably would have been on Visco.
Probably.
But right. So one of my pride, like something that's. Even though, like, I have issues with my own culture, one of the things that we're really proud of as Dominicans, and a lot of people, you know, if they don't have the Latino card revoked, would be proud of is the Mirabal sisters, right?
Who?
The Mirabal sisters. So I'm going to tell you about them.
Yeah.
Back around the 60s, right, when there was some issues here in the United States, there was also issues in the Dominican Republic. We had a dictator named Trujillo, who was one of the people that was kind of, he has this saying where he's like, trying to purify the race. So a lot of Dominicans, a lot of people from POC communities, they want to purify the race so they don't like, you know, dating people that are darker than them, all that stuff. Especially because we had some we actually gained our free independence from Haiti.
Right.
So there's a lot of, so that whole nationalism, so we still have those issues with Haiti and kind of like, that kind of is interesting because a lot of Dominicans, you know, came here to the United States and they have issues with African-American people,
right.
Even though they're not a monolith. Like, this is a whole drama shit. But Trujillo was kind of like...
drama.
Right. Trujillo was kind of part of the reason why we have, like, these colorism issues within our own community, which kind of, like you said, generational trauma. Like, I'm still feeling the effects of, like, my dad is a white man and I'm like... I'd say that I'm adopted in my house, you know? So I'm like, I'm not.
Right. Yeah.
But anyways, the Hermanas Mirabal, there were three, I would say, activists in the Dominican Republic. And they were fighting against the Trujillo regime. So like a lot of people were just letting him live his fucking life. And they were like, nah. And there was this one sister, Minerva, who he was trying to get at.
Okay.
I'm giving like the ghetto history, right?
This is the way I love it.
Right. So like, let's just consolidate. Minerva, he was trying to like, get at her,
yeah,
but she
yeah.
wasn't with the shits because she's not about whatever, you know, he was doing.
Was she, can I ask, and is this important, like her skin tone and his skin tone?
They, you know, they were, he's white, but okay. A lot of people, they realized when they did like his, they lit some like historical culture on him. He actually has a percentage of Haitian inside of him. Okay. So it was a lot of hate, self-hatred. Yeah, but a lot, you know, we had American intervention that was kind of like pushing this kind of forward.
Of course. Everybody, you know? I mean, that's even still like, I think, and you were talking about this earlier, but it's like it's a worldwide pushback. I mean, you still have, you know, there's people in different countries around the world who are trying to like bleach their skin. Yeah. And that's why I'm so actually grateful again of like some of the stuff that Netflix is doing, because on a worldwide scope, there's just more diversity in storytelling and shades that are happening, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
there used to be a bunch of white people in the 2000s we were talking about.
No, I know.
About.
And I know that's, there's a powerful tool for Netflix, but I also sometimes wonder like what those conversations sound outside. Like, even though they're progressive, like sometimes, you know, it's funny. I was on, I don't know where I was yesterday, but there was like these, obviously, I think we have a privilege that we do get to kind of educate ourselves. We have critical thinking skills is one of my favorite words for the year because okay. Twitter has been crazy. But there are a lot of people that are in poverty and don't have access to sure. education. So like when they hear things, they hear the telephone version of what's in the media, and then they get to, they're also perpetuating whatever we're talking about, right? Mm-hmm. So like I'm walking. I was going to brunch yesterday. I had to go eat before I went to watch American Son.
Okay, little right. weekday brunch.
Well, when I'm stressed, I'm like, yo, just give me the mimosa, self-medicating, right? I don't got time. Drama. But they were talking, like the Dominican, like, ay, la gente, la policía, no sirven. Tú no viste como ellos le hicieron el hombre. They didn't know his name, but they were talking about Eric Garner. But they were talking about how he was selling cigarettes. So, like, it's funny. Well, no, they were saying how the police, they don't respect, you know, black Americans.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm saying, like, it's funny how people that, you know, I don't know them, but I can say like I'm guessing they didn't go to college.
Right.
But they do take these tidbits from the media, and then they're also perpetuating like this narrative. So it's like I think it's a great thing that Netflix is doing that, but it's also kind of I just sometimes am curious like what that conversation looks like in a household that we don't even have access to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But anyways.
They don't even have access to this wonderful podcast with us talking about.
Well, they're going to get after all the drama, James, they're going to get all the views. Okay. They're like, you know?
Yeah.
But long story short, the Mirabal sisters, they were known as the Mariposas. They started the movement the 14th of June, which is like an underground movement. And they were gathering all these people together.
And the 14th of June.
Yeah, it's the day before my birthday. I didn't want to make it about me.
Oh, I wasn't going to either because I didn't remember when your birthday was. But that's close to, I'm saying it's really
interesting. Oh, it's close to Juneteenth. Yes. Yeah. I was going to bring that up because my original topic was going to be this week in history, Abraham Lincoln became president.
You are still doing this week in history,
really?
Young lady.
Whoa.
Well, you'll do it now, but we're going to cut to it.
Okay, well, he became president, and a lot of people think that when he did the Emancipation Proclamation, that's when slaves were free, but they were not free until Juneteenth.
Right.
And a lot of people didn't know that.
And that's the real Independence Day.
But long story short, I wanted to bring it up because last month was actually... you know, Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Right.
And something that I'm doing more in my stand-up is trying to open up about, like, my own domestic... Like, I'm fine. I feel like I don't like talking about shit because...
I've got concerned face.
Right. Like, I feel like people be like... When I'm on stage, I'm like, yeah, I got suffocated by a pillow. People be like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, that was 10 years ago. Like, I'm a comedian now. I needed that material.
You needed time to make it funny.
But, yeah, I mean, it's still, like, something... I reflect through it. But I wanted to talk about it because, like, you know, I want to come prepared. I want to talk about something I'm proud of. And, yeah, so on November 25th, the Trujillo actually murdered, he had somebody sent to murder the women. You know, they were doing, you know, I wouldn't say it was peaceful, but they were doing, you know, they were activists in the Dominican Republic. He sent, you know, these people to go murder the three women. And after that, the United Nations actually made the day of, it's a long ass name, but it's like... the day for the elimination of violence against women after the three Mirabales sisters, which is coming up on November 25th.
Oh, mark a calendar.
So I even if
that's the day.
Right. Even if it was scattered, I think I taught you something today.
No, are you kidding me? Well, thank you, Chloe. That was amazing. I had no idea about any of that. Thank you.
Yeah, but definitely Google it so you can get more information.
That's the show. I want to thank Glory for hopping into the co-host seat. We have a slew of co-hosts who are going to be jumping into the mix. You know, I kind of feel like a new sort of single father, taking my, maybe I personify too much of you all, but you're like my kids. And we've got some new people who will be sitting in the co-host chair. It's like Minority Corner, we're dating. We're dating around and seeing what's out there. And I want to thank you all so much for coming on this ride with us as we enter in this new era of Minority Corner. To christen it, we have some new jams, some new music. Let me know what you think. You can tweet at us at Minority Corner, spelled with a K. Send us an email, minoritycorner@gmail.com. And if there's somebody that you really admire, someone out there who works in media, podcasting, you know what we do here at the show. If you think that they should step in and I should get them on board here as a co-host, let me know. You can also tweet at me at @JamesArthur_M. I'm actually not totally sure. I don't really use Twitter. It feels like a hellscape. But again, just want to thank you all so much for joining in. I hope you had a great time. Remember to share this episode. You can share us out on Instagram. Tag someone in there. Let them know. You can also tag me at @JamesArthurM. That's for sure. I definitely use the Instagram. We're also on Facebook. You can join us at the Minority Corner Kids Playground. And that's it for the show. Again, we love you so much. Thanks for listening to Minority Corner, because together, we're the majority. See y'all next week.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.